Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Good Morning Live. It is so good to be with you again today. I am back with my friend and sister, and not like spiritual sister, actual sister, Jen Buer.
Hey.
Hey, so thanks for being with us. Hey. So in the family line, she's the oldest, I'm the youngest, and there are three in between us.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know what that means. But
that means I am the boss. And what I say goes. Okay. But yeah, so.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, so you can see what we dealt with growing up. But
really?
Yeah. No, I didn't really deal with much of that because I was too little. Uh-huh. By the time she was in charge of babysitting, I don't really remember much of that. But at some point, I bring all the siblings on and we'll do a sit-down panel and have a big Oprah-type show, inner healing.
Yes.
Bring
it all to light, get it to the surface, get it out.
I mean,
did I chase some of my siblings around the house, you know, trying to get them in line when mom wasn't home? Yep. With hangers and things of that nature.
I've heard stories where you lock some people out of the house,
That's for another day.
Another show, but that's not why we're here today. But anyway, it is so good to be with you today. Welcome to Good Morning Live. If you are watching on any of the platforms that we that you can comment on, please comment and share. It is so good to know that we are with family and that our online community is here and growing. So we love to hear your comments as we dive into the word and all of that. So day two. Back with Jen. Yesterday we started talking about end times and how to know if we are living in the end times and some warning signs. And man, we've had such a great response online from that teaching. So I'm so glad to be able to continue this all week long.
Yes.
So it's good.
I'm excited.
Yes, me too.
Yeah.
So what are we hitting today?
Okay. So today I just want to break down Matthew chapter 24 and just talk about some essentials for end time living as believers. You know, we get into these conversations and these debates of, you know, what are we looking for? When is it going to happen? Who's the Antichrist? And really Matthew 24, Jesus says, look, you know, I know what you want to hear, but these are the things that we need to hear as believers of essential living. So I just want to, maybe we can get through all of them or a few of them today and we'll pick it up tomorrow, but let's just start by reading Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to start in verse 3 and we're going to go through verse 14. So read along with me if you have your Bible out. And it says this, and as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. And in verse 4, Jesus answered them, saying, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all of these things must happen, but the end is not yet. Verse 7 says, for nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, epidemics, and earthquakes in various places. All of these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will hand you over to be persecuted and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Verse 10, then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will rise and will deceive many. Because iniquity will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. So we open that up, with the disciples basically asking Jesus what we find ourselves debating and asking each other a lot is, you know, what are the signs of the times and what can we expect when we see, you know, the end of the age coming, and Jesus answers them with these essentials for end time living.
Yeah. And I think this is so powerful. Yesterday we had talked about just kind of the world's response to whenever there's a national disaster or something like that. Yeah. And it's almost like clockwork that, the church will do a series on end times. Mm-hmm. And And I understand all that because people are questioning. But it's also calling us to live sober-minded in the aspect to always be ready, yes. always be prepared, yes. always be in that space in your spirit and your heart, if you will, that you are ready for the return
yes.
of Christ. And here are some things that obviously we are looking for right. as the end draws near.
Right. So the first thing that Jesus talks about is he says it in verse 4, he says, take heed that no one deceives yeah. you. So take heed. And what that means is it's like to take heed of yourself, take yeah. inventory of what's going on, you know, not just out there in society and those outward signs and things that people are looking yeah. for, but to take heed and inventory of what's happening in the inside of you yeah. in your own life.
And I think that'll preach right there.
Yes.
And just take heed of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
What worry about, let's just put it in modern day. Worry about yourself.
Yes.
What are you doing?
Yes.
Where are you at?
Yes.
What's going on in your heart? And again, that's what I was trying to say a second ago is we see these big things happening in society and it's like, oh, what is the government doing? Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's that volcano that erupted the other day uh-huh. or whatever that
in
was.
Italy, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and all this stuff that's going out there on out there. And again, it's not that it's not important, but
right.
what's happening in you? Where's yeah. what's the condition of your heart?
Yes.
Are you following Jesus? Are you remaining faithful? Are you doing what he's called you to do? Are you being led astray? Mm-hmm. Are there areas in your life that, you know, if Jesus had walked up to your door and knocked on it today, mm-hmm. that you would say, hey, just give me a second to clean
yeah,
this up.
Right, right.
Like there's a movie years ago that one of the lines in it was, is this where you want to be when Jesus comes back?
Okay.
And, you know, throughout the movie, I think mm-hmm. it was a mom who kept asking her kid, is this what you want to be doing when Jesus comes mm-hmm. back? But in essence, we all have to be living in that light.
Yeah.
Is where I am right now and what I'm doing right now, is this where I want to be when Jesus returns?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's just taking that internal inventory. Are we remaining faithful? Are we walking with Jesus? You know, what is the state of your heart? What's the condition of your heart? Are you still burning with passion for the things of God? You know, are we so easily led astray and you know, following, you know, this thing and that thing and oh, that's sparkly over there. So that's, you know, that's got yeah. my attention. You know, are we chasing that false doctrine and false teachers? You know, are we spending quality time in God's word?
Absolutely.
All of those things are important. And so that being the very first thing that Jesus tells us is, look, yes, there's going to be a lot of outward signs. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, and you know, we're cashless societies, and there's going to be a lot of outward confirmation of yeah. of the state of the world.
Yeah.
But more importantly is what is the condition of our heart?
Absolutely.
Take heed, take inventory. You know, real worship begins, you know, with our own walk with God. When no one else is looking, what does that look like? Just you and what's the condition of your heart?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think when you can go through life and kind of break down those things I can control and things I cannot control.
Yes.
There's a lot in this verse of wars, you know, rumors of wars,
yes.
earthquakes, famines,
yes.
all of
pestilence,
that. Pestilence. All mm-hmm. of that stuff. And most of those things I can't do anything
right.
about.
Yes. And if you're anything like me, I like to feel in control and to feel like, you know, I can reel in
yeah.
things that are out of control, you know, outwardly. And that in and of itself is just a test to be
yeah.
able to say, you know, that I
yeah.
can't, you know, those are things I can't control.
But I think the enemy would love to have us distracted
yes.
with those things,
yes.
focusing on those things, keeping our eyes on those things and not really looking at what matters most. And hear my heart when I say this, not that those things don't matter,
right.
because of course they do. They affect the lives of people. It affects our world. But with the reality that I can't necessarily control those things, what I can control
right.
is me. Mm-hmm. Right. I can control my attitude. I
right.
can control where I am with the Lord.
Exactly.
I can make sure my heart's right, that I'm in the word of God, that
yes.
I'm rooted and grounded so that when false preachers and prophets
yes.
come and are leading people astray to the left and to the right, am I grounded?
Yes.
Do I know the word? Am
yes.
I immovable? Am I unshakable?
Yes.
And so that I think that's why Jesus right from the top says, listen, take heed of yourself.
Yes.
Watch yourself.
Right.
There's going to be a lot to look at in the end days,
mm-hmm.
but watch yourself. And I think I am pro, very much pro, the church being proactive in terms of government raising our voices mm-hmm. for social and political issues and making sure that we are making a stand mm-hmm. and voting and being a voice, being yes. very proactive yes. in what we believe to be the truth of God's word and that being reflected in society. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I have seen believers get so caught up in that realm mm-hmm. that they're operating in hatred.
Yes.
And they're posting all kind of junk on social media. Mm-hmm. Anyone's walking, you know, into the church that is coming from a lifestyle that's contrary to what they believe.
Right.
They're spewing hatred. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had somebody years ago that said, you know, if you don't throw this couple out who is not living a godly lifestyle, then I'm leaving and I'm taking half the church with me. And, you know, and it was like, I understand you're trying to make a stand for righteousness, but in your stand for righteousness, you've just become unrighteous in
yes, yes.
in what you're doing.
Yes.
And that's where I again, so take heed of yourself.
Yes.
Yes, we're to be proactive. Yes, we're to make a stand for righteousness. But if your stand for righteousness makes you ungodly, mm-hmm. ugly, bitter, angry, not walking in the fruit of the spirits, yes. then you're not taking heed of yourself.
That's
you're
right.
allowing what's happening in the world mm-hmm. and the condition of sinful man. I always tell people, listen, I don't get rattled when the government makes policies mm-hmm. that are against the things of God. I don't get rattled when people are living ungodly lifestyles. I'm hanging on most days.
Yes.
To keep my mind and my heart right,
right.
with Jesus.
Yes.
Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. I don't know how people survive pain, death, heartache, disappointment, rejection, abuse that you know the world experiences without Jesus. So it's no wonder mm-hmm. that they are going from relationship to relationship, substance to substance. Politicians are making laws that make no mm-hmm. sense because they are broken people
yes.
trying to navigate the emptiness and brokenness on the inside of them without Jesus.
Yes.
So when I see the world moving in that way, I don't, you know, we want to raise our voice and say, listen, you're doing this wrong. There's a right and a wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at it very much through the eyes of compassion is, of course.
Right.
Of course.
Right.
You don't have, the word isn't coming alive in you. You don't have the Holy Spirit. You're trying to process the pain of life mm-hmm. without Jesus. And that always leads us to more brokenness
right.
and a pattern. So anyway, I love that Jesus right from the top says, listen, take heed of yourself.
Yes.
How are you living? Mm-hmm. What's your attitude like? Mm-hmm. Even how you scope culture and the world. Is it a critic sitting on the wall, or is it somebody, Jesus, the scripture that says he saw the crowd and was moved with compassion.
Yes.
Jesus looked at the crowd, even the scripture that says he looked at Jerusalem before he was arrested,
mm-hmm.
and he was moved with compassion. These were the very people who were going to crucify him,
yes.
but he saw them in their brokenness and where
yes.
they were and was moved with compassion.
Yes.
So again, we got to take a stand for righteousness.
Yes.
I'm not saying that we don't raise our voice and
right.
we don't be active in the political scene, but it's all out of, we push, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood,
mm-hmm.
right? We don't persecute the person. We push back the powers of darkness.
Yes.
Anyway,
yes.
sorry, that was my whole good morning rant.
You have the might. Yeah. So that's the first thing he tells us is to take heed of yourself. And the second thing he tells us is to see that your heart not be troubled. And he says this in verse 6, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. So that's that outward. We can see what's going on. We can see that on, you know, in the 5 o'clock news. For all these things must happen, but the end is not yet. And that nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom and epidemics and earthquakes. And that's just the beginnings of sorrows. In verse 9, then they will hand you over to be persecuted and they will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. So the second thing is to see that you're not troubled. When you see all these things happening, is be not troubled. Don't allow a spirit of agitation. And that's what that troubled, that word troubled is really agitation, is, you know, to guard your heart and to see that that spirit of agitation of those things that are happening in that Babylonian system, that they don't come near you and take over your life, that we need to watch our temper. We need to watch our words and watch our actions. We need to be kind and be humble, operate in the fruits of the spirit, consider others more important than ourselves. You know, don't get into social media fights and things like that. It's our outward witness,
yeah.
you know, in this time, that we find ourselves in. It's important because, you know, it's about, you know, getting those lost ones saved, getting, you know, saving people. And if we're, you know, not taking inventory and of our own heart and our own condition and our own lives, you know, and then in that should naturally come this, you know, that peace of God and those things that, you know, we're not so easily troubled. We're not so easily agitated. And you can see that all over. I mean, just, you know, how quickly people will cancel people like we talked yesterday.
One thing we have to know is we are called to minister to culture and not fight against culture.
Good.
It's hard to minister to something that you are actively fighting.
Yes.
Now, again, I want you to hear my heart, because some people on both sides are going to hear what I just said and said, well, Pastor James says we don't push back against sin and darkness. No. When I'm talking about culture, I'm talking about people.
Yeah.
It's hard to minister to people that you're actively fighting against. So in the spirit realm, we wage war. We bind spirits. Yes. We bring down strongholds. Mm-hmm. We take a stand for righteousness. We push back against the powers of darkness.
Yes.
But we never allow that warfare to cause our hearts to become jaded against the people who are being our pawns in that spirit's hand. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So if we do that, what we've done is we've allowed the enemy to come in and he's won, because now we can't minister to the very people who are being controlled by principalities and powers, and we can't offer the gospel.
Right.
Why? Because we've been in war against a person.
Yes.
So we got to be good at fighting in the spirit. We got to be good at fighting in prayer. We got to be good. Again, I'm not saying we shy away from in the public square raising our voice, but we always move in compassion towards people. Why? Because that agitation, that's a strategy of the enemy. Yes. And I think we read it. I think you read it right down here. I'm looking at the wrong thing. So, because of iniquity will abound, the love of many will grow cold. The love of people will grow cold. As sin abounds, what happens is people's love begins to grow cold. Yes. And I really believe that that's a strategy. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are words in red, but this isn't saying it's the will of God. Mm-hmm. Jesus is exposing the strategies of the enemy that in the last sin is going to abound. What's going to happen is the love of people is going to begin to grow cold.
Yes.
And as long as we're unable to love one another, to minister to one another, we have become ineffective.
Yes.
Heard somebody say that the other day, is that Satan's not, Satan's not out to get you to sin necessarily. He's out to cause you to be ineffective.
Yes.
And a lot of times when we sin, we become ineffective in our gift. And it's not necessarily the action of the sin within itself, but when we sin, it breaks our confidence in God.
Yes.
It can remove the anointing from our life, and it causes us to become ineffective.
Yes.
When we move from being in the fruit of the Spirit, when we move from being under the anointing, when we move from being in the hand of God to now becoming bitter and angry and being a part of that system of the world, we're not kind, we're not humble, we're not considerate of others. We get into fights, like you said, on social media. We no longer take the high road. We are operating how the enemy wants us to operate. And all we're doing is having a culture war, and we're not advancing the kingdom of God. That on Sundays. Our call is to advance the kingdom in every sphere of influence.
Good. It's so true. so we have take heed, excuse me, see that you're not troubled. And the third thing that I want to highlight is to endure. And that's not letting our love for others, like you said, grow cold. And we don't want to quit caring for other people. We don't want to become callous. Yeah. We don't want, you know, and that scripture talks about waxes cold, meaning it's a slow fade, right? Right. And I, you know, I hear it all the time. I read articles all the time that this, you know, so-and-so preacher has walked away from the faith, or, you know, this person, this, you know, music artist has walked away from the faith. And, you know, and it's that slow fade that it says that we need to endure. We need to you know, stay in the fight. We need to, you know, keep going, and we and watch and guard our heart that it doesn't grow cold. It doesn't wax cold. There's not this slow fade that happens, becoming distracted and things that is so easily where we are.
And that's one of the things we read there about iniquity growing, causing that to grow cold.
Yeah.
Be careful. You know, that scripture that says, take the log out of your own eye before you go trying to pluck it out of, you know, the speck out of somebody else's eye. As iniquity, it says, imbalanced, then the love of many will grow cold. Mm-hmm. And I think, yes, as there's more sin in the world, the temptation to zone in and focus on what other people are doing and other people's sin and where they are and why aren't they living this way and how comes they're not doing right. That's where Jesus says, listen, take heed of yourself. Don't get agitated and endure. Mm-hmm. Like, focus in, are you violating the standards of God by doing what you know is wrong, right? It'll be so easy, especially with sin abounding in the last days, to fall into sin. It's going to be everywhere.
Well, and we see it and, you know, and like the verse says, it's, you know, you can see how, you know, it's even, you know, they're legalizing drugs that, you know, were illegal for a long time. And iniquity, it's becoming so easy to fall into that. You know, it's become a norm to say, oh, you know, let's dabble in this or let's do, because it's not illegal anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and like you said, it's a distraction. It's in the age that we live in, that Satan is using those things to slowly, you know, turn the hearts of godly men and women cold.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, they find themselves, it's, you know, they've walked away from church, you know, they're doing whatever makes them happy and, you know, their witness, you know, and so that's just the ploy of the end, you know.
And Rod Parsley wrote a book some years ago. I think it was called Living on Our Heads. I've tried the title. I got the title wrong. But the point of it is that we now live in a society who calls right wrong and wrong right. And it's so easy when you have a culture and society telling you you are wrong. You go back, you know, 50, 60, 70 years in America. And I'm not certainly not saying that America had it right and that we treated people right and that there wasn't sin, because of course there was. But society as a large would say cheating on your spouses would be wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, that would be, can't believe. Now it's like, well, that's your truth. And if that's what you feel, then you gotta be you, and you gotta, you know, do whatever, you know, feels right to you in the moment. And, you know, where we have shifted in a society so much so that what is right is now viewed as being wrong.
Right.
And that what is completely wrong is the society says, well, that's norm. That's what you do. And when you're living in a society that looks like that and says that, it is so easy to fall into that what everybody else is doing.
Right.
Everybody else says it's right.
Right.
I'm being too strict, or I'm being, but listen, holiness before the Lord still matters.
Right.
Purity before God still matters. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord but those with clean hands and a pure heart?
Yes.
There are some things in this walk with God that you will never get away from. And we've been saying that on the lives for months now. Prayer, reading your word, worship, declarations. Mm-hmm. There are some things in the Christian walk that will never change. Holiness still matters.
Yes.
Purity still matters. Living right before God still matters.
Yes.
And, you know, we've had the push of the entrance of the grace message. And I love the grace message, and I am pro that. I really am. But some people have taken that. And now the grace message is not supposed to be the license to sin. It's supposed to, the amazingness of the grace message is supposed to empower us to walk away from sin. But some people have said, well, I'll just do whatever I want because it's covered under grace anyway.
He knew I was going to do it, and he shouldn't be surprised when I do it. And
I'll just do it. It's under the blood. And here's the dichotomy of that is yes, when you come back and you repent. Now, repentance doesn't mean you just stop. It means you make a 180 and you come back to God, but you repent, and yes, it's under the blood. But what sometimes we don't understand is that there's also, when you sin, yes, you can be forgiven under the blood, but can still set things in motion in your life as natural consequences.
Yes.
Like, I heard somebody on TikTok last night. And it's somebody I just started following, and it's pretty funny, but he keeps doing all these church memes of things that Christians say. And he was doing a voice like he was somebody who's like, yeah, I'm going through a Job season right now. Okay. Just feel like it's hard. I'm really walking through a Job moment. And then he kind of bounces into his personal self. And he goes, brother, you ain't walking through a Job moment. You cheated on your wife and you lost everything. Yeah. And it wasn't Job, the Bible said, was a righteous man and lost everything.
Right.
You sinned. Right. You blew it. Right. You're not in a Job moment.
There's a consequence. There's always a consequence.
Yeah, and I don't mean to laugh at that, but it was so because, you know, we will do things and then the outworking of that, we you know, we'll throw a pity party. Yeah, I'm being under attack right now. You're not under attack. Mm-hmm. You're living in the consequences
of the decisions that you've made.
Of the decisions that you've made and put yourself in. Yes. And then want to play pity party and say, yeah, I can't believe that this is, and I just love that. Well, no, Job was righteous, righteous. That's and that's why God restored.
Yeah.
You just made bad decisions. Right. And we've talked about that's in your finance, that's in your health, that's in, you know, your relationships. If you're not forgiving, if you're a bitter person, you don't forgive, you don't, like we've been talking about, you're angry at people. And then you're like, well, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm under persecution and nobody wants to be my friend. Well, no. It's not because of your stance in godliness. It's because you're a jerk and arrogant and people don't like your attitude.
Yeah.
So
walking in unforgiveness and hope, bitterness and
So we endure, we fight against the pressure to turn to culture, to compromise our beliefs, to compromise the standard of God, to compromise living in holiness, and we endure.
Yes.
Come on. We need a revival of endurance in the church.
Yes.
Like that old hymn says, though none go with me,
still
I will follow.
Yes.
And it seems to be that unless the crowd is going, I won't go.
Right.
And we know if you just look at the life of Jesus, that crowds come, crowds go.
Yes.
They cried Hosanna, then they cried crucify. If you move off of the tone of the crowd, you don't know Jesus.
Yes. That's good. You know, and I, just saying that, I love the opening. You know, if you watch The Chosen, the opening credits of that, where just, you know, the fish are, you know, the fish are all going one way. And then all of a sudden there's that one that decides they're going this way. And then before you know it, two more go this way. It's, you know, it's that, it's that going against the grain, you know? Yeah. And, so I love that that representation of that. So, I think we're getting ready to run out of time here for today's live, but so just, and we'll pick this up tomorrow.
Yeah, so
we're looking at, you know, essentials for the end time living, and we read Matthew 24, and so take heed of yourself, take inventory of your heart, take inventory of your walk with God and your devotion time. You know, then he the second is what he is, see that you're not troubled, see that you're not so easily agitated over your life, and watch your temper. And then, and three is to endure.
Yeah.
Amen.
And what I absolutely just love about this teaching is, again, yesterday we talked a little bit more about end time signs and not that we still, maybe this week won't bring in some of that, but what I'm loving about this is it's not just about, well, here's what the Antichrist is going to do.
Come on.
Again, things that are out of my control, things that as the end approaches, take heed of yourself.
Yes.
Don't allow your spirit to be agitated.
Right.
Endure.
Yes.
Fight the good fight of faith.
Yes.
That's why there's another scripture that says, when Jesus returns, will he find faith on the earth?
Yes.
Endure. Like this is not a race. This is, or how do I?
Not a sprint.
It's not a sprint. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's about endurance. It's about, will you survive in your faith? Many will fall away, the Bible says. Will you endure?
Good.
So, Jen, would you pray for us? Say, we'll come back tomorrow and we'll continue on this teaching. But will you pray for us today?
Yeah.
And just for those who maybe their spirit's been agitated, or they've allowed the things of the world to come in. Just pray for us.
So, Holy Spirit, we just thank you for the opportunity to sit and just to really to get into the Word of God. And just, you know, as in the seasons and the times that we live in, how so easily distracted we can become. But we just thank you for the living word here in Matthew 24 that we can just, you know, take inventory, that you've given us things that we can do and look internally to take inventory and to guard our heart and to guard our lives and what we say and how we act and our witness to people, and that we have the strength to endure even in seasons when we don't understand what's going on, but we know that you are in control. So we just pray right now that if there's anyone that's just finds themselves in questioning things, that that what we spoke about today would just resonate within them, that it would just plant seeds of hope and seeds of reflection and just to get some things right in my own life and not be so easily distracted by what's going on, because these are essential things that we need as we live in this time. So Holy Spirit, do what only you can do with this word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. So thank you for being on with us, Jen. Thank you for coming. I know this is a big change to your morning to be in here and doing all this. And I want to remind you tonight at Hope City Church. Now, if you've been coming to Hope City Church, you know, Wednesday nights, we typically have prayer at 6:30 and then go into service at 7 to 8 o'clock. But we kind of break it up into semesters. So our summer semester is going to look a little different. We're not having midweek prayer or service, but we're going to take the summer semester and just focus on a family event the first Wednesday of the month. So outside of that, there will be no Wednesday services. It'll be back in full force come September 1st. But we know families are traveling and life gets busy, and we want you to do all of that. But tonight at 6:30, doors open at 6 because it's the first of the month. But we're going to show the movie that was just released, the animated movie called The King of Kings, which they just said is the number one animated Christian movie of all time that's been released. So it's powerful. It'll impact your life. But I encourage you, bring the whole family, wear popcorn and drinks. It'll be a great time together. Rally up the neighborhood kids.
Come on.
Get them here. Let them hear the saving message of the gospel.
Yes.
But it's a great time to kick off your summer. So doors open at 6. The movie will start right at 6:30. My wife said, hey, make sure you start at 6:30 because our youngest Bob, who just turned 3 yesterday, we got to make sure he's in bed.
Yes.
So I said, all right, we'll start right at 6:30. Doors open at 6. So we hope to see you here tonight. Gather the grandkids, gather the kids, the neighborhood kids, and it'll be a blessing. Jen, thank you again.
Well, thank you.
And we look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Thank you for being on Good Morning Live.